gentlemen, all of us know, or at least realize, how terrible it must be to be blind, deprived of sight, unable to read. This is perhaps the greatest loss to the blind person. I'm blind, but I'm able to read thanks to a wonderful new system known as Braille. I'm sorry, I'll just feel that again.
Just a minute, I got it written down here on a piece of paper. A nice man wrote the time down for me this morning.
Oh, then why do you carry it around with you, I guess?
Well, if anybody asks me the time, I can show it to them.
Wait a minute, Eggers, my good man.
What is it, fellow?
It's written on this bit of paper. What is 8 o'clock, it's written.
I know that, my good fellow. That's right. When I asked the fellow to write it down, it was 8 o'clock.
Well, then, supposing when somebody asks you the time, it isn't 8 o'clock.
Well, then I don't show it to them.
Do you know when it's 8 o'clock?
Got it written down on a piece of paper.
Well, I wish I could afford a piece of paper with the time written on.
Oh.
Here, Echo.
Yeah?
Let me hold that piece of paper to my ear, would you? This piece of paper ain't going.
What? I've been told a forgery.
No wonder it stopped at 8 o'clock.
Oh, dear.
You should get one of them things my granddad's got.
Oh.
His firm gave it to him when he retired. It's one of them things, what it is, that wakes you up at 8 o'clock, boils the kettle, and pours a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah. What's it called?
My grandma.
Oh. Oh, wait a minute. How does she know when it's 8 o'clock?
Commence. Do you like me doing that? Shall I do it more quickly, or shall I maintain the same speed?
That's fine.
Right. Shall I move on to the other one? lovely. That's first class. That is superb. Oh, there you go, it's all happening. Jill, I'm afraid I have no sheaths.
No what?
Sheaths, prophylactic, you know, rubber johnnies. Actually, being your age and everything, there's probably no need for them. I'm talking about the menopause. Oh, Jill, you know your onions. Oh, do you mind if I talk? It helps me keep the wolf from the door, so to speak. Jill, what do you think about the pedestrianisation of my existence? I'll be honest, I'm dead against it. I mean, people forget that traders need access to Dixons. Yes. They do say it'll help people in wheelchairs.
Who'd have thought 40 years ago we'd be sitting here drinking Chateau de Chasseret?
Aye. In them days, we're glad to have the price of a cup of tea.
Aye, a cup of cold tea.
Aye.
Without milk or sugar?
Or tea.
In a cracked cup and all.
We never had a cup. We used to drink out of a rolled-up newspaper.
Best we could do was to suck on a piece of damp cloth.
But, you know, we were happy in those days, though we were poor.
Because we were poor, my old dad used to say to me, money doesn't buy you happiness, son.
Mm. He was right.
Right, well.
I was happier then. We had nothing. We used to live in a tiny old tumble-down house with great holes in the roof.
A house? You were lucky to have a house. We used to live in one room, 26 of us, no furniture, and half the floor was missing. Huddled in one corner for fear of falling.
Well, you were lucky to have a room. We used to have a living corridor.
Oh, we used to dream of living in a corridor. Would have been a palace to us. We used to live in an old water tank at a rubbish tip. Got woke up every morning by having a load of rotting fish dumped all over us. House?
What would I say house if we're only a hole in the ground covered by a couple of foot of torn canvas, but it were house to us?
We were evicted from our hole in the ground. We had to go and live in the lake.
You were lucky to have a lake. There were 150 of us living in a shoebox in the middle of the motorway.
Cardboard box?
Aye.
You were lucky. We lived for 3 months in a rolled-up newspaper in a septic tank. We used to have to get up at 6 every morning, clean the newspaper, eat a crust of stale bread, go to work down the mill 14 hours a day, week in, week out, for 6 months a month, and when we got home, our dad would thrash us to sleep with his belt.
We used to have to get out the lake at 3 a.m, clean the lake, eat a handful of hot gravel, work 20 hours a day at mill for 2 months a month, come home, and Dad would beat us about the head and neck with a broken bottle if we were lucky.
Well, of course, we had it tough. We used to have to get up out of shoebox in the middle of the night and lick the road clean with our tongues. We had half a handful of cold gravel, worked 24 hours a day at mill for 4 months every 6 years, and when we got home, our dad would slice some dough with bread knife.
Right. I used to get up in the morning at 10:30 at night, half an hour before I went to bed. Eat a lump of freezing cold poison. Work 28 hours a day at mill and pay mill owner to let us work there. And when I got home, our dad used to murder us in cold blood each night and dance about on our graves singing Hallelujah.
And you try and tell the young people of today that.
And I won't believe you.
Nope.
Tell you what, you're laughing, but we'll end up like our parents, you know. It's inevitable. Oh, aye, 40 years from now, we'll be there.
Oh, I tell you, you don't know your barn, you. Oh, me and your mum used to have it in the evenings with Sky Digital.
Oh,
PlayStation.
Oh, we had it evenings, you know. I think we used to have managed with a car each. A car each. Your mum had a dishwasher. You don't remember? Look at her face, you don't remember them. A dishwasher. Our ex used to have to go over, take all the plates, open it up, load them in by hand, on her own, turn it on. I'm telling you now, you don't know your barn. We didn't have any of them hoverboards. They were just pipe dreams then, son. Turn that music off, it's crap. Get a bit of bloody, put a bit of Basement Jacks on. Go on, put a bit of Basement Jacks on. Bit of decent music, come on. Bit of drum and bass. Put a bit of Prodigy on for your mum. She loves that. Look at her. Smack your bitch up. Come on, she loves that. Put a bit of that on. Come on, son. Look, it's hammer time. Good, there you go. That's what's that half board. What's that stand for? Hang on, it's changed that now. Hang on, here's one here. That looks like a good one. There's self-catering, Malta, Fortnite. There you go. That sucks. Where's old on here? Old, where's old on here? Where's old? Old, quick. Where's old on here? Quick, where's old? I don't want it to go bigger. What are you making it bigger for? Don't make it. I've not got cat tracks. I don't make it bigger.
Again.
I'd like to start by singing an old favourite.
Red rum.
This next song is called Subtraction. Take it away. This next song is dedicated to a friend of mine whose lips protrude 2 feet out from his face.
The shadow of your smile is huge. My mother speaks like this. My father speaks like this. So I speak like this. Which can be rather embarrassing.
Underwear in case you were in an accident. Can you imagine you were in an accident and your father goes to see you in the hospital? How's my boy? Well, Mr. Connolly's in a terrible state. She's been hit by a double-decker bus, you know. He's in intensive care. I don't even know if I should let you in to see him. Incidentally, his underwear was a fucking disgrace.
I'd like to have an argument, please.
Certainly, sir. Have you been here before?
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
I see. Well, do you want to have just one argument, or were you thinking of taking a course?
Well, what is the cost?
Well, it's £1 for a 5-minute argument, but only £8 for a course of 10.
Well, I think it would be best if I perhaps started off with just the one and then see how it goes.
Fine. Well, I'll see who's free at the moment. Mr. Bakey's free, but he's a little bit conciliatory. Ah, yes. Try Mr. Barnard, room 12.
Thank you.
What do you want?
Well, I was told outside that...
Don't give me that, you snotty-faced heap of parrot dropping.
What?
Shut your festering gob, you tit. Your type really makes me puke, you vacuous, coffee-nosed, malodorous pervert.
Look, I came here for an argument. I'm not going to...
Oh, I'm sorry, but this is abuse.
Oh, I see. Well, that explains...
Yes. You want room 12A, just along the corridor.
Oh, thank you very much. Sorry.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Come in.
Is this the right room for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When?
Just now.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
You did not.
Oh, I'm sorry, just one moment. Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Oh, just the 5 minutes.
Ah, thank you. Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Look, let's get this thing clear. I quite definitely told you.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You didn't.
Did.
Well, look, this isn't an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's just contradiction.
No, it isn't.
It is.
It is not.
Look, you just contradicted me.
I did not.
Oh, you did.
No, no, no.
You did just then.
Nonsense.
Oh, this is futile.
No, it isn't.
I came here for a good argument.
No, you didn't. No, you came here for an argument.
Well, an argument isn't just contradiction.
Can be?
No, it can't. An argument is a connected series of statements intended to establish a proposition.
It isn't?
Yes, it is. It's not just contradiction.
Look, If I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
Yes, but that's not just saying no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Argument is an intellectual process. Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of any statement the other person makes.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Not at all.
Now, look.
Good morning.
What?
That's it. Good morning.
Oh, we're just getting interested.
Sorry, 5 minutes is up.
That was never 5 minutes.
I'm afraid it was.
It wasn't.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to argue anymore.
What?
If you want me to go on arguing, you'll have to pay for another 5 minutes.
Yes, but that was never 5 minutes just now. Oh, come on. Look, this is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to argue unless you've paid.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Well?
So what?
That wasn't really 5 minutes just now.
I told you, I'm not allowed to argue unless you paid.
I just paid.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Look, I don't want to argue about
well,
that.
Well, you didn't pay.
Aha! If I didn't pay, why are you arguing? I've got you.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. If you're arguing, I must have paid.
Not necessarily. I could be arguing in my spare time.
Oh, I've had enough of this.
No, you haven't.
Oh, shut up. I want to complain.
You want to complain? Look at these shoes on. I had them 3 weeks and the heels are worn right through.
No, I want to complain.
If you complain, nothing happens. You might as well not bother.
Oh,
and my back hurts and when it's a fine day and I'm sick and tired of this office.
Hello, I want to...
Oh! No, no, no. Hold your head like this. There you go. Wow, try it again.
Oh!
Better, better, but wow, wow. Put your hand there.
No.
Now.
Wow!
Oh, good, that's it.
Stop hitting me.
What?
Stop hitting me.
Stop hitting you?
Yes.
Why'd you come here then?
I wanted to complain.
Oh, no, that's next door. It's being hit on the head lessons in here.
What a stupid concept.
You in the building?
Yeah, I just moved in Monday.
Oh. You like it so far?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been real nice.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Mama!
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show.
The woman for some time. She's quite a bit older than me, and we don't get on. It's my mum. She said, I'm going to dig a hole in the ground and fill it with water. I thought she means well. I said, I'm going to buy a theatre. She said, are you having me on? I said, I'll give an audition, but I can't promise. I said, I've just got a job in a bowling alley. She said, temping? I said, no, it's a permanent job. Then she collapsed on the floor, so I rang up the hospital and said, my mum's collapsed. He said, do you want a stretcher? I said, make her feel worse. He said, what happened? I said, a row of books fell off the wall and landed on her head. He said, you've only got yourself to blame. Remember the first thing my mum said to me when I was born? She said, I was expecting you. And when I left home, she said, don't forget to write. I thought it was a bit unlikely. It's a basic skill. And my dad's liver is inside his left knee, his kidneys are on his elbows, and his spleen's on the side of his head. Still, his heart's in the right place. But you know, my father is a soldier. He's not a real soldier. He's a thin strip of buttered toast. But the unluckiest person in my family is my uncle. 2 weeks after he went blind, his guide dog went deaf.
I'd like to know the sort of terms and conditions.
There's no conditions or terms, just basically, are you handy?
I see you would like me to sort of fiddle
around with my my willy wanky well.
I seems like a perfectly reasonable proposition. I just wanted to...
Because I'm feeling a bit wanky.
The only thing I'd ask is do you want sort of a basic stroke or a fiddle?
I'd like a fiddle or... Fiddle around the
net. Well, if I fiddle with your winky will, maybe that
I'm very clean. Very, very clean.
Well, I know that you wouldn't be in the bath with me otherwise.
Well,
up?
John. What's up, man? Just John.
Hey, you a writer, right?
Yeah.
I wrote some shit this morning. I wrote some shit, you know, I write my own lyrics.
Yeah,
shit,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to help me out with it?
I've never written rap.
That's all right. Stuff, I'm going to see what you got.
Okay, go ahead.
See what you got. All right. Check this shit out. It's called I'm Coming to Get You.
I'm coming right to get you.
Okay. Right. So you think you're going to cross me and mess with my shit? Opening your fucking trap and flapping your lip? Fucking you, nigga. You're going to get dropped. I'll snap off your neck with a crackling pop.
Like oh, I like the Rice Krispies thing, yeah.
You got that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, crackling pop,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you say anything, you'll beg me to die, because I'll make you suck my dick, then I'll nut in your eye. I'll stomp on your world as if my name was Godzilla. I'm coming for you, motherfucker. I'm your crazy eyes killer. You know? And I'm going to be like this in the video. Like. You know what I mean?
I like it. I got one tiny little comment.
What?
I would lose the motherfucker at the end. Because you already said fuck once. You don't need two fucks. You already got the one fuck. I would change the motherfucker to bitch. Because the bitch...
Bitch?
Yes, because bitch is a word that you would use to somebody who you disrespect, right? Isn't that so?
You my dog. You my nigga.
I am
you know
nigga.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right, Blake. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I like that shit. Yeah, right. I like you. Right. I like you, motherfucker. Don't hit me.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Check it out.
Ceases to amaze me. What cologne are you going to go with? London Gentleman or... Wait. No. Hold on. Blackbeard's Delight.
No. She gets a special cologne. It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in 9 countries. Yep. It's made with bits of real panther. So you know it's good.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils. In a good way.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. That smells like pure gasoline.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works. Every time.
That doesn't make sense.
not drinking that. Bottled in the mountains of Afghanistan. I bet Osama's had a bath in that.
What's wrong with it?
What's right with it? Why do you keep buying cheap crap, bloody 4p beans and Al-Qaeda water?
Exactly that reason, Patrick. It's cheap. We're supposed to be cutting back.
I know you said, but come on. Tin of Heinz beans aren't going to break the bank, are they?
And neither will Big Bob's. I've already wasted half our housekeeping on your bloody rubbish. Moisturiser, cleanser, start living with a bloody woman.
How would you know? Anyway, it's called Personal Hygiene Max. You want to try it sometime?
And what's that supposed to mean?
In a nutshell, you stink.
How dare you? How dare you? I have a good stand-up wash in that sink once a week.
See, today I had dinner with my boss and his wife, and it was a complete disaster. My boss's wife said to me, she said, Tim, how many potatoes would you like? I said, I just have one. She says, all right, you don't have to be polite. I said, all right then, I just have one, you stupid cow. So I went down to a local department store. I said, have you got any net curtains? He said, no, they've all got VAT on. I said, that's gross. I said, I can't decide whether to buy this bed or not. He said, do you want to sleep on it? I said, of course I do. I said, how much is it? He said, $98.99. I said, make it mine up. And the vicar was wearing a gorilla suit, which was a blessing in disguise. But it was tragic what happened to him, because he was a Dutchman with inflatable shoes, and one day he went for a run and he popped his clogs. So I bought this chess set and I ate it. It was horrible. I took it back to the shop. I said, that's stalemate. He said, are you sure? I said, checkmate. Ready for a song, ladies and gentlemen. You know, my favourite composer is Handel, who later teamed up with Hinge and Racket to form The Doors. And I'm actually totally deaf, yeah, I never thought anyone would say that.
Thank you.
Every Englishman must have a hobby. Some like to collect the stamp, some like to make the jam. But the most fun is to kill a little animal with a shotgun or rip him up with a wild dog. This why I come to the countryside to find out about English hobbies. Thank you. Hello, you are here on a hunt?
Yes, yes, I am indeed.
And you are? Why do you not have a horse?
Can't afford one, quite honestly.
Why not?
I'm retired now, and
you are retired.
Yes, I'm
retired. Yes, like a Mongoloid. So you hunt a lot.
I hunt a lot. Yes.
You are a real man.
Yes, I am. Yes.
We say a man who do not hunt in Kazakhstan is like a man with no.
You say you're no bollocks, I suppose.
Yes, bollocks.
I shouldn't say that.
You have a big bollocks.
Yes, probably.
You have big bollocks.
No, I don't think so. Not now.
Can I touch them?
No.
Why not?
It's private.
You are English policeman.
I am, yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you believe in the hunt or...?
I have to remain impartial with my views.
Yes. Because you are English policeman.
That's right. And everything's
the greatest
cricket.
Police in the force.
And they say everything's cricket in England, don't they?
Well, everything is cricket.
Cricket. We have to be
this
fair.
Is cricket.
No. It's just the same. Just the same.
The play...
Cricket. Well...
Yes, cricket.
Cricket is, yes. Is a gentleman's sport.
Yes.
And everyone has the right to be gentlemen in England as such.
And they play cricket today?
No. I'm confusing you now.
Yes.
I'm confusing you. Forget the cricket side of things. Yes. I'm sorry, that's just a saying.
And people, they do protest against the cricket?
Forget the cricket. It's purely a saying. Just a saying, yes?
Yes, you just said cricket.
Yeah, I just said cricket. Forget that.
Nothing
to do with hunting.
Okay. So why did you say this? Why do you like to hunt the fox?
I do not hunt the fox. I think people that hunt the fox are the scum of the earth.
In Kazakhstan.
You kill things.
Yes, kill them.
You kill things.
You kill them. That's evil.
No, in Kazakhstan we shoot the animal. We do not hunt the fox.
Well, you should be talking to us because we love animals. And that's why we're here.
We love animals too.
Why do you shoot them?
For fun.
No,
in Kazakhstan, we love animals.
Good for you.
We have most popular program on television is animal program.
Good.
It's called a Dancing Dog and Cat. They dress the dog like a family royal, like a Prince Elizabeth, one with a crown, and they dance.
But
one.
Do they treat that animal well?
Yes, they treat very well. They give food, and they only have the floor is a bit hot, so they jump. It is great. We love in Kazakhstan to kill animals. To hunt. It's so much fun.
It is much fun. It is much fun.
It is a great feeling when you kill an animal.
It is.
It makes you feel like a real man.
It does. It makes you feel big.
We like to shoot a dog.
You shoot dogs?
Yes.
Do you? Well, in England, we'd rather like dogs. So we...
But why you like them? Here in Kazakhstan, they say this, they think it's crazy.
Stop.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye. Have a good journey.
Thank you.
morning, madam. Can I help you?
Are you the manager?
I am the owner, madam.
What?
I am the owner.
I want to speak to the manager.
I am the manager, too.
Huh?
I am the manager as well.
Manager, he manager.
You're what?
I'm the manager.
What?
I'm the manager.
Yes, I know. You've just told me. What's the matter with you? Now, listen to me. I booked a room with a bath. When I book a room with a bath, I expect to get a bath.
You've got a bath?
I'm not paying £7.20 per night plus VAT for a room without
a
bath.
Where is your bath?
You call that a bath? It's not big enough to drown a mouse. It's disgraceful.
Wish you were a mouse, I'm sure.
And another thing. I asked for a room with a view.
This is the view as far as I can remember, madam. Yes, yes, this is it.
When I pay for a view, I expect something more interesting than that.
That is Torquay, madam.
It's not good enough.
Well, may I ask what you were expecting to see out of a Torquay hotel bedroom window? Sydney Opera House, perhaps? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon? Herds of wildebeest sweeping majestically?
I expect to be able to see the sea.
You can see the sea. It's over there between the land and the sky.
I need a telescope to see that.
Well, may I suggest that you consider moving to a hotel closer to the sea? Or preferably in it.
Right. Now, listen to me. I'm not satisfied, but I've decided to stay. However, I shall expect a reduction.
Why? Because Krakatoa's not erupting at the moment? Or
because the room is cold. The bath is too small. The view is invisible. And the radio doesn't work.
No, the radio works. You don't.
What?
See if I can fix it, you scabby old bastard. I think we got something then.
What?
I think we got something then.
What are you doing?
Madam, don't think me rude, but may I ask, do you by any chance have a hearing aid?
A what?
A hearing aid!
Yes, I do have a hearing aid.
Would you like me to get it mended?
Mended? It's working perfectly all right.
No, it isn't.
I haven't got it turned on at the moment.
Why not?
The battery runs down. Now, what sort of reductions are going to give me on this room?
Wines available to humanity. We want them here, and we want them now.
Miss Blenner has it. Telephone the police.
It's all right. Miss Blenner has it. I'm warning you. If you do,
you're fired.
We are multi-millionaires. We shall buy this place and fire you immediately.
Yes, we'll buy this place. And we'll install a fucking jukebox in here.
Liven all you stiffs up a bit. The police, Miss Brenner, has it. Just say there are a couple of drunks in the Penrith tea rooms and we want them removed.
We are not drunks. We are multi-millionaires.
Hurry up, Mabs. We'll keep them here till they arrive.
Won't keep us anywhere. We'll buy this place and have it knocked down.
Right.
Please.
Right. We're going. Our car's arrived.
We'll be back. We're coming back in here.
Dopey sod here. She's got him exactly where she bloody wants him. He's been out grafting all day, she's been sat on her fat ass all day, and he's massaging her feet. I don't know what the world's coming to.
Why don't you ever rub my feet, Jim?
For them bloody trotters. I'd need asbestos gloves and a gas mask.
Hey, I think I've got a veruca coming.
Yeah, Mum.
Hey, young man, what have I told you about putting mugs on that coffee table without using a coaster?
You got a gig tonight, Dave?
Yeah, I'm on down to Feathers. It's Tony Macca's 18.
Hmm? What, Beverly Macca? From the co-op?
Yeah.
She 18?
Hmm.
Are the kids going? Who's the father of them two?
Mum?
Could be anyone in Feathers.
Could be anyone in trousers.
You fancy her? Yeah. She's slapping her.
Oh, I feel a bit sorry for her with them two kids. She's had it hard.
She likes it hard. That's her trouble.
How much was a pint in there now?
It's about...
Oh, Dave, have you farted?
What? An old fella's that.
Hey, whoever smelt it, don't it?
Smell of corned beef, that.
Oh, we're going to have that one night.
Grand Canyon was voted number one, right? And I'm not surprised, because it's fucking brilliant.
In fact, they should call it the fucking Brilliant Canyon. Yeah. Because Grand Canyon, I mean, I'm from Ireland, and in Ireland, if you're not even that well and someone says, how are you? You'll go, Grand. So, you know, based on that, I was expecting the Grand Canyon to be a bit shit. It's fucking brilliant. But I guess fucking Brilliant Canyon isn't going to look so well on a sign. My only problem with the Grand Canyon is Americans are a little bit too proud of it for my liking. Because they're very proud of it. Oh, God. But I mean, it's fair enough to love it. But it's almost like they think God loves them more because he puts it in their country, you know? I spent 2.5 weeks in the Grand Canyon, and if one more American had said to me, hey, bet you don't have anything like this in Ireland, huh? It was going to be trouble. Honestly. They are so proud of that fucking hole in the ground, you think they all got together one day with a load of shovels and dug it them fucking selves. And let's face it, if they were going to do that, they'd gotten the Irish to do it for them anyway. So...
The two things the Romans have done.
And the roads.
Well, yeah, obviously not roads. I mean, the roads go without sand, don't they? But apart from the sanitation, the aqueduct and the roads...
Irrigation. Medicine. Education.
Yeah, yeah, all right, fair enough.
And the wine.
Yeah, that's something we've really missed, Reg, if the Romans left.
Public baths.
And it's safe to walk in the streets at night now, Reg.
Yeah, they certainly know how to keep order. Let's face it, the only ones who could in a place like this. All right, but apart from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, a fresh water system, and public health, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Brought peace?
Oh, peace! Shut up!
Hello, and welcome to the Bear Showbiz Tale. This week, I became an agony aunt on This Morning with Philip Schofield and big-boobed Fern Britton. Lovely udders. So I said to Schofield, Funty Bunt.
What?
Funty Bunt. It's not the scientific term for it, but it's a more TV-friendly term for the act of funt-bunting.
I don't know what you just said.
Well, you wouldn't know what I just said. You're not an agony aunt, are you, Schofield?
Ben, we've had a letter here that reads, I'm a 24-year-old man who likes dressing up as a pigeon and poo-pooing on historic monuments before having sex. He says, I'm not sure if this is right or wrong, and to be honest, it doesn't bother me, really, but if it is wrong, please, can you help me?
Well, the only way to cure this perversion is to stop it. Stop it right now before the law finds out. He's probably suffering from twati vagitis.
What?
Twati vagitis.
Or whatever it is, I don't think we should actually be calling our viewers perverts.
No, I didn't call your viewers perverts. I said that the act of poo-pooing on historical monuments is perverse. Is that with you, Schofield? You seem very defensive.
Right, you do seem a bit defensive. I mean, perhaps he's got twati...
Twati vagitis.
Vagitis.
The act of poo-pooing on historical monuments whilst dressed as...
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Caller number three, Stephen from Hampstead. How can we help you?
Do you know what he just said? He said that he's seen you, Schofield, dressed as a pigeon poo-pooing on Nelson's column. You've got twati vagitis.
Well, that's it.
Haven't you? Admit it on telly now.
Leave it.
No, you've got twati vagitis.
Leave it.
Twati vagitis.
Join us after the break when John
Scott's here. He's got his handbag.
Looking at summer skirts.
Looking up summer skirts.
No, at summer skirts.
I bet he's got twati vagitis
Stop
as well. It's
See
all in the eyes.
Stop it.
Everyone dated the demise of our neighborhood from the suicides of the Lisbon girls. People saw their clairvoyance in the wiped out elms and harsh sunlight. Some thought the tortures tearing the Lisbon girls pointed to a simple refusal to accept the world as it was handed down to them, so full of flaws. But the only thing we are certain of after all these years is the insufficiency of explanation.
Obviously, Doctor. You've never been a 13-year-old girl.
With suntan on her towel, wearing a swimsuit that caused the knife sharpener to give her a 15-minute demonstration for free. The only reliable boy who got to know Lux was Trip Fontaine, who only 18 months before the suicides had emerged from baby fat to the delight of girls and mothers alike. We'll be right back. anticipated it would be so drastic. The girls were pulled out of school and Mrs. Lisbon shut the house for maximum security isolation. The girls' only contact with the outside world was through the catalogs they ordered that started to fill the Lisbon's mailbox with pictures of high-end fashions and brochures for exotic vacations. Unable to go anywhere, the girls traveled in their imaginations to gold-tipped Siamese temples or past an old man with a leaf broom tidying a moss-carpeted speck of Japan. And Cecilia hadn't died. She was a bride in Calcutta. Collecting everything we could of theirs, we couldn't get the Lisbon girls out of our minds. But they were slipping away. The colors of their eyes were fading, along with exact locations of moles and dimples. From five, they had become four, and they were all, the living and the dead, becoming shadows. We would have lost them completely if the girls hadn't contacted us. Lux was the last to go, fleeing from the house we'd forgotten to stop in the garage. After the suicide free-for-all, Mr. and Mrs. Lisbon gave up any attempt to lead a normal life. They had Mr. Headley pack up the house, selling what furniture he could in a garage sale. Everyone went just to look. Our parents did not buy used furniture, and they certainly didn't buy furniture tainted by death. We, of course, took the family photos that were put out with the trash. Mr. Lisbon put the house on the market, and it was sold to a young couple from Boston. It didn't matter in the end how old they had been, or that they were girls, but only that we had loved them, and that they hadn't heard us calling. Still do not hear us, calling them out of those rooms where they went to be alone for all time. Alone in suicide, which is deeper than death, and where we will never find the pieces to put them back together.